I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a former major league pitcher pitches his new book. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
LeBron James suffered a well-publicized meltdown in the playoffs last year and the year before that. But this week, ESPN declared the Heat superstar to be having, quote, the greatest season ever. Is this hyperbole, or is James suddenly back to being great?
Well, I trace LeBron James's improvement to the publication of my friend Scott Rabb's book, The Whore of Akron. But The Whore of Akron is having a terrific season. I don't know about this. It's based on a metric that only that's fairly new and only tracks players back to 1978. But there's without question he's having the best season of his career, and that's one of the great sucker bets of all time because the playoffs haven't started yet.
The Oklahoma City Thunder is also having a pretty decent season. They beat Orlando on Thursday to extend their winning streak to 7. So, do they make it 8 tonight against Atlanta?
I think they probably do. They are, I think, the best team in the league right now, and Kevin Durant is having a better season almost than LeBron James is having. Oddly enough, they had never won in Orlando since they had moved to Oklahoma City. It's still extraordinarily hard to root for Oklahoma City, given what the nature of their departure from Seattle. But you can root for Kevin Durant.
Charlie, for a change this season, the L.A. Clippers are something of a powerhouse in the NBA, and one story out this week regarding a fellow named Clipper Darryl leads me to wonder if success has the Clips front office perhaps taking itself a little bit too seriously. Tell us of Clipper Darryl and his most unhappy fate.
This is what happens when your team gets good. They start acting like jackasses. 18 years, this guy Darryl Bailey has gone around as Clipper Darryl. As someone pointed out in the Wall Street Journal, he's perhaps the only superfan in the history of the Los Angeles Clippers. I would drop that perhaps, by the way. I will guarantee you he's the only superfan. I mean, the Los Angeles Clippers were a hazardous waste dump. They were a swamp. They were the black hole. They were the gates of Mordor in the NBA for 30 years. Now they've gotten pretty good, and they're going to knuckle the guy who shows up at every one of his games to make a fool of himself at midcourt to give all the people who paid money to see what passed for professional basketball something entertaining. If there's a reason to root for the Los Angeles Clippers to go back to being the NBA's most prominent landfill, it's what they're doing to Clipper Darryl.
Charlie, for some time, Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig has been making noises about adding two more wild card teams. It's going to happen sooner, as in this season, rather than later. Do you like a 10-team postseason field?
No, of course not, because now you've got third-place teams who can win the World Series.
On Thursday, Jason Veritek retired after 15 years with the Boston Red Sox. He's the only catcher in Major League history to catch 4 no-hitters pitched by 4 different pitchers. Can you name them?
I can name Vicente Romo, Clay Buchholz, and John Lester, and I can't come up with the fourth one.
We got 2 out of 4, but actually Derek Lowe and Hideo Nomo were the other two, Vicente Romo.
Oh, I said, why did I say Vicente Romo? Where did that come from?
It's a pleasant name to say.
It rhymes with Nomo, but yeah. He's from another part of the world and another century, I think. So I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move on.
People who had regarded the NFL as more powerful than the President of the United States got a surprise this week, eh?
Yeah, they're pushing back the what has been referred to as the traditional Thursday night start of the NFL, which I think has been traditional for about 3.5 years now. But in any event, they're pushing it back to Wednesday because otherwise it would conflict with the acceptance speech for the president at the Democratic National Convention.
I don't know why you have that problem with traditional Thursday. I mean, Thursday says football to me.
If there's anything in the world that says football to me, it's Thursday night. Exactly.
The Green Bay Packers made quick work of raising money for stadium improvements. Since early December, the team has raised $67 million by selling 280,000 shares in the team. The team now has about 360,000 part owners. Wow, that must be some board meeting.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because the stock, the value doesn't increase. There are no dividends. You can't sell it. And it doesn't give your buyers any advantage over the 93,000 people who are on the waiting list for season tickets. It just gives you a really cool thing to hang on your wall.
Yeah, they do have one kind of board meeting in the stadium every once in a while, right?
So yes, which I have a feeling is an excuse to eat a lot of bratwurst and drink a lot of beer.
We don't necessarily discuss every college football coach who breaks the rules because if we did, there wouldn't be time to discuss anything else. But since he's kind of gone above and beyond, we probably should mention the infractions of Texas Tech head coach Tommy Tuberville, don't you think?
Yes, we don't talk about every college football coach who breaks NCAA regulations, but we do talk about most of them who break those regulations we like to call the federal law. And Tommy Tuberville is accused of investment fraud and defrauding investors out of more than $1.7 million in Alabama after he was the coach at Auburn. It's a federal lawsuit and named Tuberville, a guy named John David Stroud, and a whole bunch of other folks. They, quote, employed devices, schemes, and artifices to defraud seven plaintiffs from various places in the South. He's back at Texas Tech and did not neither he nor Texas Tech was immediately available for comment.
Matt Kenseth won the Fire and Rain delayed Daytona 500 on Monday. During a two-hour fire stoppage, driver Brad Keselowski tripled his Twitter followers by live tweeting from the track. NASCAR has ruled that it's perfectly fine for him to have a phone in his race car. So what's next? NASCAR drivers can tweet as long as they're not entering
turns? Wait a minute. It's illegal to text on the phone on the Southeast Expressway a mile from here.
Yeah.
But you can have your cell phone in your 200-mile-an-hour
really
race car.
They're really good at it. They can tweet and drive 200 miles an hour at the same time, and there's no danger to anybody.
I'm waiting for the tweet that begins, "Ooh, the car in front of me spun up," and then goes silent.
And finally, Charlie, we've got another world record to
sports!
Celebrate. And this one really might have been fun to be part of. Don't you wish somebody had invited you to New Orleans to participate in the human mattress domino record?
This is amazing because not only was there a previous human mattress domino toppling record, the 850 participants in New Orleans who were part of the human mattress domino toppling, not even remotely close to the world record of 10,276 human dominoes that the Chinese put together in Inner Mongolia.
Well, those are human dominoes. Were mattresses
involved? No, this broke the human mattress domino record of 550 that was set in Belgium in 2011.
Yes.
Apparently, the people in China and Inner Mongolia are not wimps. They don't use mattresses.
They don't use mattresses. They're just
dominoes. They have human dominoes.
Right. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce, albeit nothing about mattresses or humans falling as dominoes at Grantland.
Oh, I need a column for this week. You may never know.
Among other places, and he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.